Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah. Hi, Jim. And here we are, Friday with you and Friday with our listeners. Hey, how could it get any better?
Well, maybe answering a listener question.
Sure thing.
Okay, we have a question from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. Financial pundits this past year have confidently predicted a soft landing for the U.S. economy. However, in recent days, many are changing their prediction to a no landing scenario, with markets naturally gravitating upward. Bob, I'm confused. Doesn't everything have to land sometime, somewhere? After all, planes, birds, balloons eventually land. So what kind of a landing are we looking at here, Bob?
Yeah, that soft landing thing, it comes from the higher-ups, central bankers and Wall Street types who didn't call for a weakening of the economy. And because they didn't call it, they just suddenly get on board and say, oh, well, it's just going to be soft. But if you take a look at the financial markets out there and the history of what happens to the economy after a great financial bubble is over, there's no way you could call for a soft landing. It's much harder than that. But as for seeing any exasperations about no landing, I haven't seen any of those, and you'll find those all over the place at an important bottom when everybody is blasted out of the markets and out of their minds and everything else. So, yeah.
Second part of Michael's question. JP Morgan predicts that U.S. interest rates may reach atmospheric levels as high as 7%. 7%. 7%. Yeah. Bob, I'm perplexed. Why is everyone so shocked? Wasn't there a time when a 7% rate was quite normal?
Well, yeah, that's ballpark stuff. 6% level over decades and decades. But in the crisis of 1980-81, the long rate in Canada got up to 19% and 15% in the States. I mean, that was nominal. You know, that was what the coupon of the bond was paying. But real rates adjusted for inflation were down. So this is a good opportunity to discuss real interest rates, which is the rate of interest adjusted for the rate of inflation. Now, people are complaining about rising interest rates and the costs of servicing mortgages and all this sort of stuff. And the term I'm watching in the treasuries is that real, it got down some months ago down to -1%, and now it's at +2% for a 3 percentage point increase. In my historical work on both post-bubble contractions, is that typically real long rates decline with the bubble and go up with the bust. Now get this, Jim, and Michael, you're listening. The typical increase has been 10 percentage points. And these guys are stressed out about a 3 percentage points increase. This is just the start. Yeah.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eyes right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye today. From Reuters, signs of the times, Russia bans fuel exports to most countries in response to shortages.
Yeah, Jim, this one is interesting. This was diesel and gasoline. So they're trying to make it a softer experience for the folks at home. But on the other side, Russia's main source of revenue is from export of oil and oil products and gas and everything like that. So this is going to put a bit of a bite into Putin's availability of dollars. And in order to prosecute a war, you have to have real money, or what is real money at the moment, and that would be U.S. dollars. So now you got another thing here, is that with the economy now slowing and a possible financial crisis being discovered, and crude oil going way down. We know that they're looking for $150 crude, but hey, 94 recently has been pretty good. But so anyways, Russia's not going to have any money for misadventure. So somewhere they realize they're out of money, and Putin has to stop his intrusion into Ukraine. And that'll be a pleasant thing to see.
Headline from Yahoo, United Auto Workers fight against billions in buybacks forces investor rethink.
Yeah, that's the union people are protesting against billions in buybacks, and rightly so. I think buybacks are an abomination, and it's the board of directors playing the stock market. And the one of the worst ones was 4 or 5 years ago, when Boeing spent over $40 billion in stock buybacks. Then they didn't have enough money to do the proper engineering on those jet airliners, the 737 MAX or whatever they were, and they didn't do the proper engineering there, and they had two of them crash. So this, I am strongly against companies doing stock buybacks, because the board of directors is playing the stock market, not looking after business.
Wolf Richter, coming up on This Week in Money, which goes out Saturday morning here on House Street. He calls North American auto executives the biggest bunch of idiots he's ever met. They said they can't read market trends, and yet the president of General Motors makes $29 million a year. It would take one of her workers over 340 years to make that same amount of money.
Well, also, I saw the head of Ford saying that the whole world is going to electric vehicles. And that's not the case. The whole thing is reversing against electric vehicles as we speak. It's another one of these things. They are uneconomic, and they are impractical, and people are discovering that, and they're heading the other way.
Well, not in Vancouver. Vancouver per capita is the Tesla capital of North America.
Oh, I'd expect so, because one of the problems with electric car is you have to turn the air conditioning high. It shortens your range tremendously.
Wow.
And in Vancouver, you don't really need air conditioning.
Well,
and then also, Vancouver doesn't get cold, whereas if you're in a cold country, the electric vehicles are just hopeless. It just shortens your range, something else. Not because you got the heater on, but because a cold battery doesn't put out too much. And then the battery's going to explode on you sometime anyway, so ridiculous. Yeah.
Headline from Yahoo, Vietnam property woes rear up as major developers spars with creditors. Has the Chinese real estate disease spread to Vietnam now?
Oh, yeah. That's why I put it in. Vietnam, of course. They're speculating everywhere in real estate. And everybody gets over-leveraged, and then the game changes. Then you got a problem with creditors. Hey, what's new?
So I'm right to call it the Chinese. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
China developers dropped most in 9 months on Evergrande woes. Well, just the other day, Bob, Evergrande shares were halted on the trading floor.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
Full halt. Well, they weren't meeting exchange listing requirements. So that is I'm going to look that one up. That's really a killer step, that one.
Mm. How do you raise any money to pay your debts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect unrest in China, considering they're the second largest real estate company there? Would that make them the second largest real estate company in the world?
I would think so, yeah.
And, of course, Country Garden, the largest real estate company, they're in financial hoodoo or hoo-ha crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, this whole Chinese thing of building empty apartments in empty cities, did anybody think, what good's real estate if nobody lives in it?
Right. It's insane. No, it really is. And then they built roads to go from nowhere to nowhere.
Yeah. Now, I read that one of the reasons why these artificial cities failed is that they failed to put in educational institutions. Because,
I didn't know.
Yeah, so they didn't have colleges, universities for people to go to. And, of course, if you're going to go anywhere in your career, you need some extra education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I guess they got schooled on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
headline, global trade falls at fastest pace since pandemic.
Yeah. That one is really a headline, because the pandemic was a forced shutdown. This is just the whole of the economy failing because you ran the end of a business in a credit cycle, and now we're into the contraction.
Well, I mean, just anecdotally here, I overlook part of the Port of Vancouver where container ships come in. Right now, there are no ships except for one at the grain terminal. And we can go for days now without any container ships coming in or out. I mean, it's just an empty harbor.
Yeah.
And I think one of the problems, too, is the longshoremen's strike, the dock workers' strike, because they struck. They came back, went back on strike again, came back, went back on strike.
Oh,
Vancouver
yeah, okay.
now has a reputation of being an unreliable port.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, I can see that one.
They may have been hoisted on their own petard. And I challenge people to... And most people have no idea what a petard is.
I know what a petard is.
Yeah, I know you do, Bob.
Okay.
You probably help invent it.
Oh, nice guy.
Well, we're just saying, you are our historian. Mm-hmm. A petard is what engineers use to force explosives up against a tunnel while trying to take down a castle.
Or they also use it for swabbing out cannons, too, after a round has been fired.
Yeah, so it's a different kind of petard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so several petards, but you never want to be hoisted on one.
No, not any of them.
Yeah, actually it was the original shaped charge. If you're into knowing how to breach armor. Anyway, our next headline, teetering China property giants undercut Xi's push to end crisis.
The main thing on that headline is that the president is doing everything he can to restore the boom and prosperity, and of course it's not going to work. Once you start the contraction, you can't stop them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very much like a snowball at the top of the mountain. It's just a little snowball, but halfway down, it's an avalanche.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, another headline from the Wall Street Journal. The world's biggest crypto firm is melting down.
Right.
Melting.
Well, the whole crypto thing wouldn't really have happened if it wasn't for the stock market. My view is that the cryptos exist as having been a magnificent way to speculate in the financial market. So, and these things are melting down.
Well, the whole crypto thing was to get around government regulation, but the reason governments had to regulate trading and shares and so on is that there were so many crooks involved in it, right, Bob, mm-hmm. back in the late 1800s?
Oh, there's always been financial adventures in the markets. Oh, there are stories in history like you wouldn't believe. But mainly, over all of the decades, all the hundreds of years, the financial markets have served the community. They have advanced prosperity. But at times when they go to crazy, they blow away prosperity.
Well, is AI going to be the next dot-com bust? Because right now, any company throws in the letters AI, and people are just throwing money in blindly.
Huge surges through the summer on individual stocks, and then you had the Magnificent Seven and all that sort of stuff. Whereas AI, artificial intelligence, I always took that to be is when you take a PhD in economics and put them as head of the Federal Reserve, and then suddenly they're a genius, celebrated by Wall Street. And I'm telling you, that really is artificial intelligence.
Yes, and the book writers in North America now are launching a class action lawsuit against ChatGPT, I think it is, because they are illegally... They say, they in their lawsuit claim, that their books are being copied by AI so that they can write books in a certain style, mimicking, say, a Stephen King or a Winona Kent.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know that. Thanks.
Yeah, so, of course, Meta, they're going up against Zuckerberg, says, oh, they have no claim. We haven't done anything with it yet. Well... They own the right, the authors own the rights to their books, or the publisher does. They've been copied without permission.
Mm-hmm.
You owe royalties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a friend of mine in resource stocks, and he's got a, this was months ago.
Yeah.
Early in the year, and he had this AI thing put together, a promotional blurb for the stock, and I looked at that, and I said, oh, that's so good, I got to buy it. But it was AI writing up a promotional blurb on a junior stock. So,
yeah, so
it hasn't moved yet.
Yeah, and so when we said the world's biggest crypto firm is melting down, that would be Binance.
I don't know.
Yes, I according to Google, and of course that's AI, isn't it? Binance is the world's largest crypto exchange in terms of daily trading volume.
Okay.
They're registered in the Cayman Islands, where, of course, you live tax-free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob, taking a look at the stock markets right now, do they remind you of any particular period in time?
Yeah, we've been through the biggest financial bubble ever. Mind you, for each set of participants, it's been the biggest thing ever. And the speculation has been in financial assets, stocks and bonds, and all sorts of new products and games and stuff like that. But here's the distinction, Jim, is that throughout the last 300 years, you get a huge commodity boom. Usually associated with the global war and the end of a long period of dynamic economic expansion. So the commodities crash, and then a decade later, you get the great financial boom where financial assets are bid up. And when they crash, it leads to the depression. So, and we have had this. The last high in commodities was 2011, and the high in the stock market was January 2022, and that's within your decade ballpark thing. And the indicators that I have that mark the transition from a great financial bubble to a great contraction, although they've been gentle so far, I'd say they're online saying that we will be getting a severe contraction. Maybe this will be seen by later in the year. Now, the other thing that in any business cycle you get is when the yield curve, which is the difference between short rates and long rates, and in a boom, the short rates will get higher than long rates, and that's called an inverted curve. And here again, every inverted curve has been followed by a recession. Absolutely inevitable. So, and now the other part that moves things along, the soaring up to inversion is the headline. And then the rolling over and the financial markets changing then marks the step towards an actually washout, which I think could become apparent before the year end.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to get together and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter, now called X, at How Street. We're also on Facebook. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.